Hello. This is the inaugural episode of the Diamond Dingers podcast. In this episode, we're going to be going over the AL East. We're going to give our thoughts on the additions and subtractions each team made, any questions we might have about the roster, and give our picks on what we think their win totals for the season will be. I should note that we actually recorded an entire episode spanning all of the American League, but it ended up being way too long. So we cut this piece out, and that's our AL East Division preview. Hope you enjoy, and do bear with us as we are new to this whole podcasting thing, and I'm sure our equipment could be better, and my editing skills could be better, but thank you. Hope you enjoy. And Juby, I guess we'll just jump right into it with the Baltimore Orioles. I'll start out kind of give a brief overview of what they did this offseason. They added Kyle Gibson, Adam Frazier, Michael Givens. They traded for James McCann and Cole Irvin, and then added Nomar Mazara and Franchy Cordero on non-roster invites. And they lost Jordan Lyles, Rougned Odor. They traded Tyler Nevin to the Tigers and lost Jesus Aguilar in free agency. What are some of your thoughts on this team and questions that you have?
It's an interesting team. They got a lot of young talent that's coming up that'll be relied upon here in the early parts of the season. They ended this last season pretty good on a hot streak. It's really just up to if they can continue that going on into 2023.
Yeah, I mean, they got, you know, Gunnar Henderson, you know, Rodriguez. It's going to be really interesting. I think for me, the biggest question is going to be the rotation. I have no doubt that this lineup can bop. They did that last year, Santander, Rushman, Mullins, Mountcastle. But this rotation, I mean, you look at it, and at the moment, it's Kyle Gibson, Cole Irvin, Kyle Bradish, or Bradish, I don't know how you say his name, Dean Kramer, and Grayson Rodriguez. Like, that's fine, but when your best projected pitcher is Grayson Rodriguez, who's never pitched a single MLB inning, that could be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, and they have John Means coming off the injured list at some point in this season, too. So that'll be a huge add to the rotation.
Yeah, it's not clear when he's going to be back. I think he's projected by Fangraphs to pitch, let's see, 44 innings this season. So probably like August. But even if they get him in August and they're in the playoff hunt, that's a huge boost.
And I think we're really going to know if this team is in or out come that All-Star break and the trade deadline. Either the young guys are going to perform or they aren't. And that's going to happen by the middle of the season. When John Means is coming back, and you're either going to be selling or you're going to be going all in.
Yeah, this is a weird team because they could totally sell at the deadline if they don't feel they're competitive enough.
Yeah, they really didn't do much this offseason. Little subtractions, handful of additions, nothing big that breaks the books. All little additions that are going to slightly alter and change this team to have a better outlook in the first half here.
Yeah, and I mean, they also, if they want to, they traded Cole Irvin. They traded like their fifth shortstop prospect to get him. Like, they have such a deep farm system. If they want to go for it, they could go for it. It's just a question of will they. With how Baltimore has operated to this point, I would guess they probably don't go all in on this season. This definitely seems like the year where they want to go, okay, how close are we realistically to pushing for that wild card spot?
Exactly. Let's see how good these young players play. If they show up and they're getting it done day in and day out, this might be a totally different team come the second half of this 2023 season.
Yeah, totally agree. Also, their bullpen, Felix Bautista, he's nasty. I think it's Cionel Perez. He's pretty dang good. And Michael Givens is not a bad reliever either. So the bullpen I like more than their rotation, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. They're just vulnerable to injuries.
And we'll have to see. Their win over under, according to Vegas, for this season is 76.5. So what we'll do is I won't say the 0.5 in every single one. I'll just say 76. What's your pick? You got over under.
So last year, 2022, the Orioles finished up 83-79. We're looking at them being, what, 5-6 games worse than they finished last season? I don't think that's the case. I think with the competition around the whole division now, as they're not playing in division games for 19 of them, I think the Orioles are going to be over the 76.5.
I think I would agree. They're over. This looks like a 79-80 win team to me, just on the surface. They got really hot, and that's why I think they won over 83 games last year. You know, there's that win stretch they had in the middle of the season where they just won a ton of games in a row. Without that, I don't know if they're even in contention for a playoff spot, but this team seems slightly better. So, you know, I think you go the over here. Like you said, them not playing as many AL East teams is going to help. But on the flip side, they will have to play good teams elsewhere more often. But I like this team. I think they're starting to trend in the right direction. I'm excited to see what they look like.
Moving on to the next AL East team, the Boston Red Sox. They did a significant amount of moves this offseason, both additions and subtractions. They gained Matasaka, Yoshida, Justin Turner, Kenley Jansen, Joely Rodriguez, Chris Martin, Corey Kluber, Adam Duvall, Richard Blair, Adalberto Mondesi, and they extended Devers 11 years, $331 million, added Jorge Alfaro and Ramiro Tapia. During the offseason, they also lost Xander Bogaerts, Matt Barnes, Josh Taylor, Valdi, Wacha, Matt Strom, JD Martinez, Reach Hill, Tommy Pham, Eric Hosmer, and Frankie Cordero. Trevor's story is also a good note here that they're not expecting him this season. I wouldn't expect him to come back. That's going to be a huge, huge hit to the middle infield. I know he didn't have a fantastic season last year, but he was getting hot towards the end. If he was continuing that, that gives this Boston Red Sox a totally different outlook. Miller, what are your thoughts on this Boston Red Sox team for this year?
Well, first off, as a Padre fan, it's Michael Wacha. Just correcting that real quick. I mean, they lost a lot and they gained a lot, but I don't know what it equals out to. You know, for example, like we lost Xander Bogaerts. Here's Adalberto Mondesi. Okay, that's not a win. Well, we can put Kike Hernandez there. Well, that's not a win either. I mean, Xander Bogaerts is one of the best bats in baseball overall. They overpaid Yoshida. They arguably overpaid Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen. This is a weird team because it feels like they're spending to spend, but they're just kind of spending on veterans that no one else was going to give that much money to. So I don't know what their plan is. Their farm system also is just, it's kind of top heavy. It's not great overall, and it hasn't been for the last couple years, it seems like. I don't know. I mean, they're a really interesting team because they could win like 85, 86 games if everything goes right, or they could win like 75. I don't know if there's a bigger swing team in baseball right now where they're so boom or bust. So I don't know. Don't have no idea.
That's how the Boston Red Sox have been over the last decade. It's either first or last. I think they beefed up the starting rotation a little bit with adding Corey Kluber. He's never going to be a huge ace, and he's never going to be terrible. He's always kind of sitting in the middle of the pack. You know what to expect from him.
He's their opening day starter this year, by the way. They just announced that this week.
Chris Sale, does he stay healthy? That contract, he's barely pitched at all in the past few seasons, rippled by injuries, unlucky injuries last year. After he came back, it sent him back on the IL with a broken finger. Didn't really pitch. They beefed up the bullpen. Kenley Jansen's a good add. He's one of the best closers in the game. I mean, other than that, you added Joely Rodriguez, Richard Blair, Chris Martin. It doesn't blow you out of the water, but it's definitely a little bit better than it was last year. But yeah, like you were saying, Miller, it's a lot of trade-offs. And the trade-offs weren't always wins. It felt like there were more losses than there were wins in the trade-offs this year. Bogaerts was the middle part of the lineup, huge part of their success getting to the 78 wins they had last year.
Yeah, I mean, you also look at the starting pitching. It's like, well, we lost Nate Eovaldi and Michael Wacha. We gained Corey Kluber. It's like, that's not a win. They must feel really good about the pitchers they have in-house. You know, guys like Whitlock and Hauk, Brian Bello. So it's going to be interesting. You know, obviously, I will say, I think they made the right baseball decision picking Rafael Devers instead of Xander Bogaerts. I mean, their offer to Bogaerts was for 6 years, and that wasn't going to cut it because he wanted more. Devers is younger, and giving him an 11-year, 10-year deal, that's smart. I think it's smart to pick the young guy as your franchise cornerstone. But at the same time, you're Boston. You're one of the premier brands in baseball, period. You couldn't afford both? Sometimes the smart baseball thing is not the right thing to do if you want to win right now.
Agreed. I mean, Boston Red Sox are number 14 on total payroll for the MLB. You're sitting at $167 million they're going to be spending this year. I think they could have gone out and made bigger moves. It sounds like they just missed out on some of the bigger targets that they were going after. I'm worried about some of the veteran leadership in the dugout and in the bullpen. I mean, you lost JD Martinez. I don't think he had a great year last year, but he was a great veteran that brought a lot more to the team than just stats. He brought a lot of wisdom to that bench. You didn't really add anybody to kind of replace that. You added Adam Duvall out of Atlanta. I don't think that's a trade for trade. Like, going back to it, I think it's more losses than there are wins.
Yeah, I mean, Duvall, though, I think he's a different player than Martinez at this stage. You know, he can actually play the field. Martinez is just strictly a DH. I also forgot that they had Rich Hill last year. That's also a loss. I don't know. I mean, you look at their, if we move on to their win over under, 78.5. I said I wasn't going to mention the half, but if I mention it, I mention it. So what do you think there? Because I don't know how I feel.
I'm going under. I think I have a similar outcome to what we had last year. I think the Orioles are going to do something. I like that team. The Red Sox, it didn't really seem like there's any rhyme or reason to the addition subtractions this year. I really don't think they're going to hit the 78.5. I think, 75 to 78 win team. And they could prove me wrong. They have enough talent on this team to make a good run and end up in, an 82, 84 win team. But feeling it, I don't feel it.
My gut says go under two. But this is, like I said, this is a tough team. This is a swing team. They could win. They could be in a playoff spot, or they could be picking in the top 10 of the draft. I don't know. I'm going to go under, though, because I picked the Orioles to go over. We'll see with the Boston Red Sox. They're going to be a very interesting team this year in an extremely competitive division.
Yeah, I mean, they can slap. I mean, you got Tristan Casas, Rafael Devers, Justin Turner, Masataka Yoshida, Alex Verdugo, Enrique Hernandez, Adam Duvall, Reese McGuire, Christian Arroyo. Every single one of these guys on this lineup can hit. They just all have hot streaks and cold streaks.
Yeah, Yoshida is going to be a huge question mark for them, but he hit a big old stinking dinger in the WBC a couple days ago. So that's going to be a fascinating storyline, as well as how does Yoshida, who's one of the better hitters over in Japan, going to acclimate. Regardless, we will now move on to your team, the New York Yankees. I'm sure you have a ton of thoughts on them, but we won't dive too deep into that. That'll happen later, I'm sure. Really weird offseason. Like, they didn't lose a ton. They didn't gain a ton. What they did gain was huge. They re-signed Anthony Rizzo. They kept Aaron Judge, which, man, if they didn't keep Judge, this whole offseason would have just been a complete disaster, an F grade all the way. They also signed Carlos Rodon, gave him a big contract, and he's already hurt, but we'll get into that. Tommy Canley to beef up that bullpen. They added guys like Willie Calhoun and Rafael Ortega on non-roster invites. The subtractions, Andrew Benintendi, Jameson Taillon, Matt Carpenter, Chad Green, Aroldis Chapman, Miguel Castro. They traded Lucas Lutke and also lost Zach Britton. So what are some of the questions you have?
They made the moves they had to make. They had to get Judge. They had to retain Judge. Rizzo, huge leadership. They had to retain him. They made those moves. The team stayed the exact same until you added Carlos Rodon. I think Rodon really beefs up this lineup, but as you just mentioned, he's injured. He's starting the year off on the injury list. That's a huge hit. You also lost Taillon, who was a huge part of the rotation last year. He never blew anyone out of the water, but he was always consistent. Matt Carpenter had the Cinderella story to start off the season. Benintendi didn't really add much. He was hurt after they traded for him. Tommy Canley's a good add. They really just are kind of a wash. They didn't really do much to get better. They didn't get much worse. Rodon's a huge add. I think the rotation definitely got beefed up, but is it enough to top the Houston Astros? That is the question that is asked every postseason for the New York Yankees.
100%. That seems to kind of be the thing in baseball over the last couple of years is, well, we're the Yankees. Did we do enough to beat the Astros? And if 10 years ago you heard that, people would have called you crazy. But that's where we are right now. And they have, I believe, the second biggest payroll in baseball. And despite having that big of a payroll, as there's some holes in this lineup. There's a couple holes in the bullpen. There's a couple holes in the rotation, mostly because of injury. But despite all that, they're not a perfect team. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how everything shakes out. You got the question at shortstop. You got the questions in the outfield. With Bader, probably not being back till like May, right?
Yeah, he's out 2 months, you can assume, 8 weeks.
Yeah, which is too bad because he was good in the playoffs. He was like Barry Bonds in the playoffs. He just kept hitting nukes.
Yeah, man, he came out of left field with the homers. He's not typically known to be a homer guy. I think he had 6 homers. And granted, he was on the injury list, but 6 homers all last year in the regular season, and then comes out and hits 5 in the postseason. I don't expect that from Bader when he does come back here, but regardless, he is lights out in center field.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do in the corners, because they've been talking about, you've mentioned to me, playing Stanton more in right field at home, moving Judge to left field, and then flip-flopping those as need be. You still have Aaron Hicks making a bunch of money. He's got to get used somewhere. So that's going to be interesting. You know, does Oswaldo Cabrera, does he play the outfield too? How often does he do that? And then shortstop, I mean, it kind of seems like Peraza is going to start the season there, but Anthony Volpe, I know a lot of people, some people have had questions about him of like, is he really that good? Is he that good? He just came in and acted like a pro, it seems like, this spring training. So he's going to play at some point this year in the majors.
Yeah, I think he definitely comes up. The biggest thing is New York is a different animal to play in. Playing in spring training is not like playing in the big leagues regular season. The kids can look good and they can come up and do great, or they can struggle. We don't know how that is. I don't think you can rely on young talent with your number 2 payroll in baseball and you're shooting to beat the Astros in the postseason. I think the biggest question mark for me for this Yankees team is, I mean, you got players like Josh Donaldson, Aaron Hicks. Those guys have done it before. Can they do it again? It was a very down year for Donaldson and Hicks. They struggled in the Bronx last year. Do they have bounce back seasons? If they do, I think that changes the outcome. But, I mean, you got $37 million on the books for this year just between Donaldson and Hicks. Those players have to perform, or it's a big bust for this team.
Yeah, totally. What are your thoughts on the rotation that does not have Carlos Rodon at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we all know Gerrit Cole's name. He's been out there for years, dominant. I think you know what to expect. He's going to be around a 3 to 3.5 ERA every year. Luis Severino has shown he can be dominant in the big moments. Nestor Cortez, you know, came out of nowhere. Kind of was a Cinderella story a couple years back, and he has just proven that he can pitch day in and day out and do it well. I think that solidifies the top 3. Rodon's obviously going to beef that up a lot. The question marks are Domingo Germán and Clark Schmidt. Those two pitchers have looked good in spring training. But like we said, it's spring training, and it's not the Bronx, or it's not a big league park regular season. I think it really depends if, you know, this is the true depth of their starting rotation at this point with Schmidt and Germán pitching. Do they get hit with more injuries? That could be detrimental to this team.
They don't seem to have a ton of depth behind those 6 guys right now, at least not proven depth. They traded a lot of those guys that could have come up and given them innings last year, it seems like, with J.P. Sears and some of the guys in that Oakland A trade.
Yeah, which brings up Frankie Montas, right? You can't forget to bring him up. The pitcher that he was in the Athletics organization was a lot different pitcher than what we saw last year over in the Bronx. So does he come back this year? And there's some quotes of him saying that he wants to be back, but the reports currently show him not coming back this year. First question is, what kind of run back does Aaron Judge have for the New York Yankees? I think it's impossible to hit that season that he hit last year.
Yeah, there's no way he can hit 60 homers again. If he does, he's one of the best hitters of all time, which he arguably is.
So, I mean, yeah, top to bottom, and you got Torres, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Cabrera, Donaldson, Hicks, Trevino, and Peraza. It's a lineup with some talent, but again, you know, we're looking at the over-under here. Miller at 94.5. Where do you sit on this New York Yankees team?
You might hate me and not talk to me for the rest of the year if I say this, but I got to go under, man. I think with, you know, they will play the AL East a little less, but again, they're going to be playing teams like the Mets, which they do every year anyways, but I think they play them more often now. You're going to play the Braves. You're going to play the Padres. You're going to play the Dodgers, man. Like, it's going to be tougher across the league. And I have them at like 92, 93 wins. They're still going to be really good. There's no doubt in my mind they make the playoffs. It's what happens when they're in the playoffs that I think really matters for New York. But regular season, yeah, I have them on the under.
Yeah, and I actually agree with you. I mean, last year they ended up at 99 wins, and that was with one of the hottest first halves that we've seen in recent memory. I don't think currently with the injuries that are happening to this team, I don't think they're going to have that hot of a first half to be able to carry them to that second half. I'm sitting the same. I'm sitting around 92 wins where I expect them to be at.
Yeah, another thing that's interesting is, you know, I think last year, what? Aaron Judge had an 11.4 F-war. Like, that is insane. There is no way that he can repeat that. I mean, he's projected, I think, at this point to have, like, an 8-war. That's three losses right there. That's three wins that you don't have because of Aaron Judge, because of how impactful he was. So even if he hits, like, 49 homers, you're probably going to lose 4 or 5 games because he's just not going to be at that level as he was last year. And that's not to say he's going to be bad. He's absolutely still going to be one of the best players in baseball. But it's just when you have a Bonds-esque type of season, it's hard to repeat that. So that, I just thought that was a good note to have in there as well.
Yeah, the next team we got here from the AL East is the Tampa Bay Rays. They signed one of the largest free agent contracts that they have ever signed. Zach Eflin.
Huge deal.
They also signed Ben Gamel and Charlie Culberson. Meanwhile, they lost a lot more than they added. They lost Corey Kluber, Kiermaier, Peralta, David Peralta, Zunino, Nick Anderson, Ryan Yarbrough, Yiman Choi, Chargoy. They lost Rayleigh, Fireheisen, and Phillips.
Brett Phillips.
Yeah, so, I mean, Brett Phillips wasn't the best hitter, but he added a lot on defense. Same with, you know, Kevin Kiermaier. David Peralta was a late season pickup last year. He didn't really do a ton for them. They didn't really make a run at the end of the season. They lost Yiman Choi out of the starting lineup. I mean, you keep Yonny Diaz at first base. I think they're going to be fine. What are your thoughts on the additions and the players lost from this Tampa Bay Rays team?
What?
All right, so we're going to run back the Tampa Bay Rays.
It's tough because the Rays, last 4 or 5 years, you're foolish to bet against them. They've consistently proven that they know what's up when it comes to their pitching lab. They can get just enough out of hitters. But it's tough. I mean, they're legitimately the only big ad that they made that's probably going to be on their opening day 26 is Zach Eflin. That's it. When you do that, I don't know. I mean, right now, looking at what they're projected to, their projected wins, they're projected at 88 wins, which to me is a little crazy, but I think that shows you just how good they've been over the last few years, that people and projections have faith in the Rays. You know, their lineup is, you know, Yandy Diaz, Wander Franco, Randy Arozarena, who is destroying the WBC right now. It seems like that guy is, you know, an all-star when the lights are on. And when they're not, he's, you know, whatever, but it's not the point. Brandon Lau, they got to have him stay healthy. Harold Ramirez, Manuel Margot, Isak Paredes, Christian Bethencourt, and Jose Siri. I don't know, man. I'll let you chat on the rotation here because, I mean, it's good, but they also lost Glass now. Their lineup is good, but they lack some pop in some areas. So I don't know, but they really need Wander Franco to be that superstar that they paid him to be.
Yeah, and they're kind of projecting them to be about the same as they were last year. I think last year they ended up with 88 wins. They're 86 and 76. Right, so they're projecting to be 2 games better than last year. You lost Corey Kluber out of that starting rotation, and you gained Zach Eflin. I think Zach Eflin was good. Drew Rasmussen's good. Shane McClanahan, lights out. You know, he's going to contend for a Cy Young again. Jeffrey Springs was good. Tyler Glass now, that's a huge loss. It looks like he's just on the injury list for a strained oblique right now. It takes some time to come back from. I don't know when his estimated return date is. But if you bring Glass now back, he changes the outlook of this rotation tremendously, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. It is interesting because they signed him to a $25 million extension. $5 million this year, $20 next. So part of me thinks that the Rays kind of knew we're not going to get a full season of Tyler Glass now. Because if I'm correct, Tyler Glasnow, the last time that he pitched a full season, or anywhere close to a full season, was, it looks like, 2018. Since 2018, when he was traded to the Rays, he has not pitched more than 88 innings in a season. So I think they're just counting on him. Maybe this is like his bounce back health year. Their bullpen, I mean, their bullpen is always seems to be lights out. You know, they have Nick Anderson. Well, he's gone now. He was hurt last year. Well, whatever. We lost Andrew Kittredge, who was really good for a while last year. He lost him to Tommy John. But we found Jason Adam out of nowhere. Pete Fairbanks is good. Jalen Beeks, Colin Pache. You know, they have a lab, dude. And when they trade guys like Brooks Raley or J.P. Fireisen, you kind of just shrug your shoulders and go, well, the Rays must have a really good reason for sending those guys along. Because they seem to find replacements okay.
Yeah, their pitching lab is incredible. It's one of the best in baseball. It's why they're able to do it day in and day out, year after year. They always find ways to provide a bullpen that throws the octopus arms at you. They have different arm angles, they have different speeds, different trajectories, different pitches. They just know how to mix up what the batter is seeing, and that's what the Tampa Bay Rays are best at. Looking at Tyler Glasnow's injury here, it looks like he's going to be out for about 6 to 8 weeks. So you're going to get Glasnow at some point in the season. How many innings does he pitch? That's a little more questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the rotation is going to do it with some of the top in the league. And they always throw the bullpen at you. My question mark is the lineup and how they perform this year.
Yeah, because they, you know, Franco and Lau were not healthy last year, and those are arguably their two best hitters. They need those guys to stay healthy. And the one thing that I think they don't have that maybe they start trading for if they're in a good position, I don't think that their depth outside of that starting lineup is particularly great. Now, granted, a guy like Curtis Meade could come in and help out, but I don't really know what they're going to do in the outfield outside of, you know, Margot and Siri and Arozarena. Is Josh Lowe going to be good this year? He wasn't good last year. So there's just a lot of question marks with that lineup and the health of it. Because the reality is, you're not going to have the same nine for the whole season. No one can stay completely healthy for a whole season. So how do they fill holes when they pop up?
And that's their fall off, really. They don't really have anyone on the bench that's going to come back and come up and replace the bat out of their starting lineup. And as far as, you know, veteran status on the team, you only have a handful of players that have more than 3 seasons in the books. I mean, you need those guys to perform. Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, Harold Ramirez, and Manuel Margot. You need those guys to come up and do it this year.
In their starting lineup, they only have one guy that has more than 5 years of service time, and that's Manuel Margot, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, and I think he's better than what he performed last year.
Oh, yeah. As a Padre fan, Manuel Margot, I like him. He's a good player.
Yeah, they need him to come up and perform this year. So jumping over to their over-under, we got him at 88.5 games. Where do you sit?
Funny that Vegas and Fangraphs line up on this one. They haven't always. This is a tough one for me. I think I will go under, but like just barely. I'm thinking 87, 86 games. And that should be good enough to get them into the playoffs. But again, health is going to be really important. Do they have any minor leaguers? Do they have any guys that just kind of step up out of nowhere for them? Because they always seem to have one or two a year. They see things in players, especially pitchers, that seems like no one else does at times. So I'm going to be very, very interested to see what they do. But yeah, I'm going to go under, but just barely.
Yeah, this one was a tough one for me. I think because they're not playing the AL East as much this year, they're playing more of the league all around. I'm stuck between that 88, 89 win team. I think they didn't do as much as their AL East, you know, fellow teams, but I'm sitting right at 88. I got to take the under. I just don't think the additions that were made balance out some of the subtractions they had. And defensively, we're banking on a lot of good offensive seasons, which isn't the Tampa Bay Rays MO. So I'm going under, but just barely at 88.
Yeah, pitching and defense, that's their MO, that's for sure. Toronto. Man, Toronto had a... They had a lot this offseason. The additions, they traded Dalton Varsho, Well, they traded for Dalton Varsho, excuse me. They got Kevin Kiermaier. They signed Brandon Belt. They traded for Eric Swanson. They signed Chris Bassett. They traded for Zach Thompson from the Pirates. And they signed Chad Green, who it's not clear when he's going to pitch this season because he's coming off of an injury. They lost Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Gabriel Moreno was one of their top prospects in the Varsho trade. Those guys are now with Arizona. They sent Teoscar Hernandez to Seattle for Eric Swanson. And they lost Ross Stripling, who gave them a lot of quality starts towards the end of the season. Juby, there's no doubt this is the biggest threat to the Yankees in the AL East when it comes to taking that division crown. What do you think about them? What are some questions you have? Did they get better?
I think they did. I think they made enough moves that kind of addressed some of their weak points. I would have liked to see maybe a little more bullpen arm get added to the team. I think Chris Brassett's a good pitcher to add. I think Zach Thompson. I think Chad Green, if he can come up and be healthy. His problem is he hasn't been healthy over the past few years. And then the back end of their bullpen. They struggled. They struggled last year. They weren't consistent. And you can hit the ball all you want, but if you're and you can have great starting pitching, but if your bullpen's blowing games for you, it's really hard to maintain a level of success at a professional level.
That wild card game that they lost to Seattle, I feel like was a microcosm of what Toronto was last year. Boom, we're going to hit the ball over the place. Our offense looks unstoppable. And then when we go cold, our bullpen just seems to not know what to do. I like the Eric Swanson deal a lot because Baseball Savant just loves him. I mean, he's just in the red everywhere, it seems like. And not like light red. We're talking like red, red. I like the Bassett addition. A question I have is, you know, what the heck is Jose Berríos going to look like? Because he was terrible last year. Not like the worst pitcher in baseball, but out of like guys that got a lot of starts, his ERA was one of the worst. So that's going to be interesting because he just got lit up, you know, in the WBC for Puerto Rico. I don't know. I mean, I agree they did not do enough with their bullpen. Is that an area that they look to bolster at the trade deadline? Because it seems like Toronto's going for it, man. They really seem to think like now is our window. Chapman is out the door next year. He's heading to free agency. He's going to get paid. You know, you've got Bichette and Vladdy in their prime. You know, you're giving out big contracts to guys like Springer, Gausman. So you got to utilize those guys while you have them. Alec Manoa too. He's under control as well. So this is their window. I think that they balance their lineup out, but again, it's just like I said, it comes down to that bullpen. Will Jordan Romano be good? Will he be more consistent? Because he was good, but he wasn't as consistent as you would like in your closer.
Yeah, and they had some other good arms out there. I mean, like you mentioned, Eric Swanson's good. Anthony Bass has potential to be pretty good. Adam Simber, he's been good. Really, those guys got to perform in the back end to help carry and finish the games that the starting pitching has performed. I think that Jose Berríos and Kikuchi need to have bounce back seasons if these guys are going to be competing, you know, for the ALCS spot.
Yeah, we'll get into the win over unders real quick. They won 92 games last year. They're projected, for according to Vegas, their win over under is 91.5. They're projected to win 89 games this year. It seems like FanGraphs is really taking into account the balanced schedule. So that's going to be interesting to see if that's correct or not. What's your pick, over or under?
I like this team. They've looked good in spring training on the pitching side, which is kind of some of my biggest question marks. I think Kikuchi and Berríos have some bounce back years. I think the bullpen does enough. And I think they're going to slap the ball around. I'm going over. I see them at sitting in between the 92 to 94 range.
Yeah, I'm also going to pick over. I think they're good enough. Now, granted, we are picking like razor-thin margins between the Jays and the Yankees at this point, based on under for the Yankees and over for the Jays. I think it's going to be a very, very tight race. No idea who's going to win it in the end. Obviously, you'd like to see the Yankees win. A lot of people wouldn't, but we're just going to have to see what happens, because I think this is going to be a tighter division at the top, because Toronto got a lot better, arguably. Yankees got slightly better. They added to what they had last year. So it's going to be a fascinating season in the AL East for sure. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Diamond Dingers podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. If you want, you can follow us on Twitter at DiamondDingers_. We'll post links to all our episodes there and our thoughts on baseball in general. Like I said, we appreciate you guys listening. Catch you next time.